Welcome to the Honestly Carly podcast, the truth about staying strong, sane, and seen in midlife. This is the podcast where fitness, hormone health, and real life collide, hosted by me, Carly Corrigal, midlife PT and former lawyer. I'm here with honest conversations about what it actually takes to feel incredible over 40, because yep, that's still possible. Hello and welcome back to the Honestly Carly podcast. I am your host, Carly Corrigal, and I am recording this having just come back from a few days away and looking at my email inbox and all of the questions from all of the brilliant women that I get to work with week in, week out. And there is always one that is going to be guaranteed to be there when I start working with a bunch of new people, and that is around what I say in my classes about exercise intensity. And this might be a little bit of a pokey one, a bit of a spicy one. And if you feel seen here and you're like, okay, I feel like she's calling me out directly through my earphones, then yeah, there is something in this, because this is very, very common. There's absolutely no shame around what I'm about to talk about. And it is all about exercise intensity. Now, bit of background. If you come to my classes, you'll know this already. If you don't, I tend to talk about working at your 8 out of 10 when you come to my classes. And this is the sweet spot for progression. There's a reason why this is particularly important in midlife, but it's also important at whatever stage in life you find yourself. So it's a conversation you can have with your partner, with your kids, with your friends. It's kind of pervasive here. And I think often when women come to work with me, they start off saying that they're doing all the workouts. I'm doing everything. I'm doing my strength training. I'm running, or I'm doing some sort of cardio in there. You know, I'm maybe even getting some HIIT workouts done, but I'm just not getting the results that I used to. I feel like I've plateaued. I'm not getting any fitter. The niggles are creeping in, maybe a little bit of weight gain in there as well. You know, I should be building loads of muscle based on what I'm doing. Nothing is changing. Now, the thing is, when I look at this, and obviously there's always an element of going into what is going on for that particular client, but one of the first big rocks that I like to move is not about how much she's training. So we're not talking about an issue with the volume of training that she's doing. It is the intensity, because what I see more often than not is that there isn't a lot of intensity. You're not working hard enough. And it's a really difficult one to own sometimes, because we can almost be on the cusp of working hard. We can feel like we're doing a lot. Oh my God, I'm doing all these things. But there's a very big difference between being busy and being productive. And you'll know this from work. You know, if you're anything, I call myself out on this, you know, I can find a million things that I could be doing to keep me busy, but how many of them are actually moving the needle in my business? Well, it's very similar. The parallel is very, very similar when it comes to our workouts. And I think, where does this come from? I think there's a few things. I think in midlife, when time is really short, we see a lot of messaging around movement. And I did it myself. I'm like, move more. I did a whole podcast a couple of weeks ago about being more active. So I want to draw a distinction between movement and training. Okay. So movement is great. We need it for our health. Our bodies absolutely thrive when we are moving regularly. There's no doubt about it. We do not want to be sedentary. And if you haven't heard that podcast yet, go back a couple of episodes ago and listen to that one. So things that I would class as movement are walking, something light intensity like gentle yoga, a light class, kind of pottering about around the house, in the garden. And it feels good, right? It feels good. It supports your general health. It places a very low demand on the body, and there's absolutely room for all different kinds of movement. And yes, that is important. But when we stop there and we go, well, yeah, I've moved my body today, great. But my friend, if you want results, if you want to build bone, build muscle, feel fitter, feel stronger, see changes in your body, in your body composition, you absolutely need to be training. Okay, there's a distinction. Training requires an adaptation in your body. Okay, your body is leveling up here. When we train, we create that signal to our body that it has no choice but to respond and to level up. All right. It involves being slightly uncomfortable or maybe a lot uncomfortable. There's deliberate effort there. Okay, so think of movement as maintenance and training as a change, a catalyst for change, okay? And you won't go too far wrong. And I'd love you to start thinking, this is very practical in its application, this episode, but I'd love you to start thinking at what you're doing across your week that fits into the movement box, and honestly, what fits into the training box. Because I think for a lot of us, we almost get locked in at that happy pace when we're doing our cardio, or that happy place when we're in our comfort zone in our classes, you know. Have women who maybe go to something like a body pump class, and they always use the same weights. They very, very rarely increase them. They say, yeah, but it's demanding though. And I'm like, yeah, but are you really out of your comfort zone here? Or maybe they're in a spin class and they always crank it up just by that amount. They always put just the same amount of effort in. Or if they look at the Strava data for their running, they're running at the same pace. Okay, if you're never asking your body to step up, it's not going to improve. It's like when you're learning anything, think of it like your body is kind of like this amazing machine, this amazing computer that's learning, okay? I'm looking over at the digital piano that is in the room that I'm recording in. If I, you know, wanted to learn the piano, then I wouldn't just get stuck playing, what's that tune they always make you learn? Merrily We Roll Along or whatever it is. Or Mary Had a Little Lamb. You know, if you only ever play that same tune, you're never going to be able to progress and play a nice bit of Bach, are you? Like, you're literally going to be stuck playing that same tune all the time. And it's the same with our bodies. If we never ask them to do that little bit more, they're not going to. And this is where it's particularly important in midlife. So let me explain this to you in a little bit more depth. So when we hit midlife, especially when we are going through the topsy-turvy world of perimenopause and later menopause, our bodies are trying to do something incredible. They're trying to adapt to having a totally new hormonal profile, one that we have not had since before puberty, with very low levels of our reproductive hormones. Okay, and as we age, part of it is down to hormones, part of it is down to just the aging process. So we need a very clear signal given to our body that it needs to adapt and level up. And is really down to a few things. So firstly, your muscle protein synthesis, which is your building of your muscles, is less responsive. So that's whole system in which your muscle responds to the stimulus, the input that you're giving it, becomes a little bit more sluggish and a little bit less capable to adapt. It absolutely still can, but it's just that little bit harder. We've talked before on the pod about muscle mass being lost more easily, this process of called sarcopenia. It's very horrible, horrible word. But yeah, this muscle loss process that starts from our 30s onwards, in fact. So we're constantly fighting against this, all right? In addition, I've talked about bone health, how our bone mass starts to decline if we're not putting that impact and load through it in order for it to stay strong. Similar things happen with our cardiovascular system. We need that additional input, that real kind of nudge, as I like to call it, a clear, strong signal for it to level up. Okay. The body just becomes a little bit more selective. It's like selective deafness in a child, you know, when you're like calling them to do a job, and then you're like, oh, I've got some cakes on the table, and they suddenly perk up. It's your body's a bit like that, okay? It doesn't respond to polite requests anymore. It needs this clear, strong signal, enough stress, and we'll talk about training stress in a moment, to say, right, we need to actually make an adaptation here, okay? And this is really important. So I want you to think about this less like, you know, a whisper in your ear, you know, oh yeah, we're just gently moving along, gentle movement. Gentle movement absolutely has a place, but when you want results, when you want to see and feel progress in yourself, you need to be giving yourself this big old kick up the arse, all right? Which is where working with someone like me who does it for you is very, very helpful. So what's actually happening on a physiological level? If we are working at this higher intensity, and I want to talk about what that looks like for you, because as I said at the top, I really want this to be practical in its application and not for you to go away feeling more confused than when you started. But when we're working at this higher intensity, this 8 out of 10, which we'll come on to in a minute, We're doing a few things, okay? So firstly, we're most likely to be recruiting more muscle fibers. So especially the juicy, fast twitch ones, which tend to become a bit less responsive as we get older. So that's really important. We're getting the muscle fibers. So these are the sort of strands that sit within the muscles itself to switch on more quickly, okay? And more forcefully. We're creating this mechanical tension I've spoken about before in the pod. So this is where your muscle, which is pulling on the tendon, which is pulling on the bone, and we are creating that strong stress through the bone when we're working that little bit harder, okay, which is stimulating that bone loading. Similarly, if you're doing a lot of high impact work, you are loading the bone in a different way, all right? We're also driving these cardiovascular adaptations because we are essentially becoming very, very puffed. And so the body is like, right, we're really out of breath here. The heart is pounding 10 to the dozen. So what we need to do is, for next time, because she's going to want to do this again, we're going to need to level up. So it's going to look at really maximizing that oxygen uptake through the cells and into the working muscles, okay? So if we're not giving our body this strong training nudge, and this is across any age group, really, we have to be giving ourselves a level up, a signal, okay? But we just need more of it in midlife and onwards, okay? So what happens is we are sitting in the middle zone, which if you've listened to this podcast for a while, you'll know I hate, which is this kind of gray area, this sort of hard, sort of easy area. And this is where I see a lot of women sitting if they really ask themselves honestly. It's not that they're just doing gentle, easy movement. And as I say, there is an absolute place for it because we want to polarize that effort and have some of that gentle, easy movement across the week. So it isn't that they're doing necessarily too much of that, but they're doing too much of this mid-zone stuff. So when we're in the mid-zone, that feels almost, we could kid ourselves that we're working harder, right? So because you come back from doing a workout or a run or whatever it is exercise-wise that you're doing, and you're going to feel tired, okay? You're going to feel like I've worked out. Oh, I feel like I've worked. That's the most common line I hear. Well, I feel like I've worked when I've done it. But then I'm like, well, how hard did you work? How did you feel? Could you have pushed harder? And they're like, well, yeah, to be honest, I probably had another gear to go into. And that's always a dead giveaway. If you're saying I have another gear, then you're definitely in the mid zone. And we'll come onto that in a little bit more detail in a moment. But if you're stuck in that mid zone, there is a danger that you are going to take longer to recover from it. And this is particularly pertinent for us midlife women because we have so much going on. We've talked about the hormonal changes, but just life, it's just so hectic. You're not, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you're unlikely to be training as a professional athlete, right? You don't have the support network around you that you can just sit with your feet up or go and, you know, have a sauna or an ice bath for the rest of the day and like just, you know, have little naps and people running around. You're doing all the things, okay? You're maybe going to look after other members of your family, parents, aunties, you know, you are picking kids up, driving them round. You are probably working pretty darn hard, right? All of these things together make up this patchwork quilt of being a midlife woman where recovery is really, really hard to come by. And then you throw in a little bit of, you know, menopausal sleep loss amongst it, which, let's face it, we know insofar as recovery is concerned, sleep is going to be one of our biggest and best tools. Then you're screwed, okay? So we're not able to recover as well after it because it's still quite draining, okay? But also, it's not giving us that training nudge. It's not hard enough that the body's going, yeah, all right, well, I need to adapt. So what it's going to do is just plateau. And if anything, it's going to get worse and you're going to feel more tired because it can't quite recover from it. If it was a truly easy effort, then your body hasn't got as much to bounce back from. Hopefully I'm making sense here. Okay. So what does it feel like? What does it look like to be doing the 8 out of 10? And this is like the $6 million question, because I get asked this a lot. How do I know when I've hit my 8 out of 10? And I've got a few little rules of thumb to hand, and some will resonate with different women. And I think before I say this, and again, I said at the top of the episode that you might feel a little bit called out or a little bit like, that's me. But if you haven't been used to working at this level, it's going to feel like a bloody shock to the system. It's going to feel like someone shoved a rocket up your ass because it is hard, okay? And for many of us, we might not have come from a background where we've really pushed ourselves. You know, I wasn't a sporty child at all. I mean, that may or may not surprise you, but I really didn't start any kind of sport until I was in sixth form and I started running. And it was really like, I mean, it was long before the days of Catch to 5K, but it was literally like run between lampposts. I started a little running program I found in a magazine. It was Zest magazine. Does anyone remember Zest magazine? I mean, back in the day, in the late 90s. And really, you know, I was completely shocked by actually how hard it felt, how hard that initial effort felt. It was totally alien to me all those years ago. And I still remember that. And I think about this often when I'm training clients and they're like, oh, but it feels really hard. I'm like, yes, it's supposed to feel hard. And I'd like for you to like walk towards or run towards that feeling of really tough work. Because you don't have to do it for very long. Just like my initial starting out efforts at running, I was running to the lamppost, okay? It was running like 100 yards. That's all I'm asking for. I'm not asking for you to keep that effort up for a whole hour. No, no. We're talking about little bursts. You know, you're picking your dumbbells up, you're doing your squats, as long as it takes for you to finish that set. Or as long as it takes for you to do, you know, 20 seconds of your HIIT workout. That's all you need to do in one go. We don't need to be doing this stuff for hours. But equally, 8 out of 10 is not collapse in a heap territory, all right? It is, I say, where you can't hold a full conversation, but you can chuck out the odd swear. And I, somehow they get through my spam filter, but I get emails every week from women doing my classes who will swear at me and they'll say, yep, I was saying that to you throughout. And I'm like, brilliant, that's what we want, okay? So if you're doing something like a HIIT workout, you can test it yourself by trying to sing happy birthday whilst you're doing your exercise. If you can sing happy birthday, then you're not working hard enough, okay? If you could maybe get out the odd syllable, then that's brilliant. And this is going to take a while, okay? If you've not been working at this intensity and you really start, it's going to be challenging. With something like a strength training workout, you're looking at getting to the end of your set, so your allocated number of reps in that set, and you're going to be thinking to yourself, geez Louise, I could not wang out any more than maybe 2 in this set. And again, this is not for you if you have just started strength training. This is for you once you've been training a while and you're like really wanting to see the results, okay? So I don't want you going from zero to hero here. That's, you know, very, very important. But when you're looking at getting results, this is what we need to be doing. If you're comfortably finishing the set and you're raring to go again for every single start of every next set, then you're not lifting heavy enough, okay? You need to go heavier with those. And I think it's really a skill to tune into this. It's all about becoming the expert on your own body, which is what I encourage you to do across all of my programs. And even if you never join one of my programs and you just listen to this podcast, I want you to be the expert on you and how your body feels. And something else I say in my classes is that that 8 out of 10, like, firstly, I couldn't give a shit what it looks like. Honestly, it doesn't matter if you're the same pace as me or your sister or your best mate. Don't care, right? It's got to feel hard for you, but it's also going to feel different, maybe not just day to day, but within the same day, all right? Like, some days, 8 out of 10 is going to feel like, you know, you're lifting heavy, you're feeling strong, your feet are flying, all right? And other days, you're going to feel like, oh my God, this feels harder than it should. This really does, but I'm showing up properly and I know it and I'm going to embrace it. And you have to sometimes approach this with compassionate curiosity, which is a phrase that I love and I use it all the time, in that there are so many variables of being a midlife woman. Oh my goodness, like literally not only your hormones, but every single thing that you've got going on in your life that's going to mean that each day feels different. And you cannot expect linear progress just because you could do, I don't know, 8 reps at X weight last week doesn't mean you're going to be able to do it today. And that's totally fine. It doesn't mean you're going backwards. Okay. As long as you are nailing that effort, I want you to lock that in the back of your mind and go, like Carly said, as long as I can feel it and I am working as hard as I can, I'm doing enough and it's going to be working in the long term. And honestly, it is a little bit like turning a cruise ship around in midlife when it comes to training. You are not going to see instant results. You are not going to see results within a fortnight. We are talking at least 6 weeks, probably 8 weeks to 12 weeks here, okay? And some days you're going to question yourself and go, is this really worth it? I feel like I'm really blowing here and I'm working really hard. But my friend, I promise you it is. Trust the process. Okay, this is how your physiology works. It's just not always going to give you that feedback that you need. All right. However, I have had women, they are literally like, oh my God, that was so hard. I felt like I was going to die. That is too hard. It's a very fine balance. You want to be able to finish the workout, but feeling like you hate me if you're in one of my classes is exactly where I want you to feel. And I want you to have that little conversation in your brain. I do it all the time. And my brain's going, oh my God, this is hard. Can we stop now? And then I'm like, yes, my friend, in a minute. Okay. So walk towards it. Walk towards that flame. You need to be working nice and hard, okay? So the day-to-day variations in this that I hinted at are really important to acknowledge. So that compassionate curiosity, the things that might hold you back. And you are looking at, you know, your sleep, your stress. And that is not just like your stress in the outside world, but also how much training you're doing. It may be that you are doing a little bit too much. We talked right at the top about the fact that I bet you're not under training in terms of the volume you're doing, but you are in terms of intensity. So you'll probably find that you need to do less. And this is often a shock to people. They're used to going in with a training program and like, oh, well, I'm going to do this 5 days a week. And I'm like, no, you don't need to. Especially with my HIIT classes, like once or twice a week is enough because you're doing it properly. You're giving yourself that really good, strong training stimulus, that big nudge. And then you're getting the recovery, which is a great way of looking at it. You know, you're literally breaking the body down and then you're giving it the tools to build back up again. It's really, really important. Obviously, your cycle can make a difference to this. I'm not a massive fan of menstrual cycle training and tracking. This is probably a podcast for another day, isn't it? Because it's a massive topic. But I really don't like the thought that we are almost told how we should feel in a different phase of our cycle. So there was a kind of a movement towards telling women that in certain phases of their cycle, for example, you know, around the time of their period and then leading up to ovulation, then after ovulation in that luteal phase, that you should be doing different types of training. And we absolutely need to respect the fact that if you are still having periods, and I know for many of you listening, you might be post-menopause, but if you are still having periods, there will be fluctuations in your cycle. But I don't want you thinking, in that week before my period, I can't train hard. Everyone is different. Become the expert on your own body. Don't outsource this to, you know, a tracker or an app which tells you you should feel a certain way on a certain day. Because in my experience, and certainly like the studies that have come out more recently, it's not showing that correlation across all women, okay? And as we know, in perimenopause, when your periods go a bit haywire, that would become bloody impossible. I mean, you know, telling a woman, you know, in the days leading up to your period, you must only do this type of exercise. Well, when is my bloody period going to come? Is it going to be after 20 days or is it going to be after 60? You know, that it's just nonsensical. So I would just chuck that out of the window. But if you notice in yourself, for example, on day one of your period, you're like, oh, I really don't have the energy to give here. Then for heaven's sake, listen to your body, give yourself a recovery day, all right? You tune in and maybe write it down. I keep a little training log with notes in of different things I notice and try and kind of look for trends because that interests me. If that interests you too, nothing wrong with that, okay? And I just want you to keep as your target the effort, not the numbers. And this is where I sometimes see women going wrong. It's possible that you're looking at your fitness trackers, which give you things like your heart rate or your zones that you're working in. And sometimes I have in those emails that I talked about at the start, messages from women saying, that felt like the hardest workout I've ever done, but apparently I'm only in zone 3 or my heart rate was only 140 BPM. And I'm like, whoa. No. It's tempting. Or they'll say to me, I've seen from your stuff that you don't believe in heart rate monitoring. And I'm like, that's not strictly true either. So I just want to quickly set the record straight on that, because sometimes we look for that, but I love the data. I love seeing it all written down. But my friends, like tracking your heart rate, particularly on your watch, is so unreliable. As somebody who is quite small I'm quite small, or I was going to say quite small boned, but more like quite small blood vesseled, which I've talked about before, me and my puny little veins and arteries. Like, my heart rate struggles to be tracked on a watch anyway. Okay, it's very hard to have your heart rate monitor on your wrist in the right position. So even assuming that you can get a good clear reading on your watch of your heart rate, it's so variable. It can be influenced by anything from how many coffees you've had to your stress level for that day, your hormones, your hydration level. I even found when I was away last week and I was hotter, my heart rate was just higher. It had me, I think my watch came back with something like overtraining or overreaching at one point. And I was like, yeah, but my heart rate is higher because I've gone this 10 degrees centigrade hotter than it was last week. So of course my body is working harder to kind of maintain that homeostasis. There's so many variables. So even if you're tracking on a chest strap, which is more reliable, it's not lab conditions. Okay. So I really, really would hold absolutely very little, because I know if I tell anyone to ignore their heart rate data, they just still look at it anyway. But just know that it is not, I'm not anti-tech. I'm just very much pro-awareness over your external data. And I think if you can tune in, again, let's not outsource this. If you can tune in to what your body is telling you, it is so much more valuable. And it's not a reliable proxy for your effort, especially in midlife when you've got so much other stuff going on. So always dial back. How do I feel? It's irrelevant what that number says. Okay, lecture over on that. All right. Okay, so we're going to wrap this up shortly, but I just want to talk a little bit about this idea of polarization that I mentioned at the beginning, because this really isn't about doing every workout, every training session at an 8 out of 10 necessarily, but most women sit like everything around like a 6 out of 10, a 5 or a 6 out of 10, which is this meh middle zone. Okay. When we actually want easy to be properly easy. So it is literally like the effort you put in if you were going for a walk around the block at like, you know, not like a tiny pace, if you're walking like a small dog that's stopping every 2 seconds, but you know, like at a normal walking pace, that's kind of like your properly easy effort. And then we want the hard stuff to be properly hard. And it means we can do less of it because we're getting these results, okay? So you're going to have that better recovery. You're going to have that clearer training nudge, that proper stimulus, and you're just going to lead to better results, okay? So this is where we want to be. We want to be polarizing that effort. All right. So if everything you're doing in your training week at the moment is like a bit sweaty, a bit efforty, a bit that'll do, then the body has no reason to change. And this is the absolute key thing here. We need to give it that reason to change. That is the most important thing I would say when it comes to your training, is just make sure you're working at that right intensity, because not enough intensity, you're not going to get that training stimulus. And if you're just working at that middle zone, you're going to feel very, very tired. You're going to not be getting the results you want, and you're going to be totally mystified, because it will still feel like you are working, in inverted commas, but not enough for your body's needs right now. So where do we take this from here, my friends? Well, I've got a couple of things for you that are going to help. So first and foremost, if you are feeling kind of called out and seen by this episode and you're like, oh, actually, shit, I need to really work on my intensity, then I have put together, because it is such an important thing and something I see so often when I'm working with clients, it's like the number one thing that comes up at the beginning. I have a free training tweak guide, which you can download. I will pop the link to that in my show notes, which is really going to give you that starting point. It's going to explain what we've talked about today in a little bit more depth and how you can apply that to you. It's a really great starting point, but please don't feel any shame on this, because trust me, this was where I was as well. 100%. I was working out all the time in the mid zone before I realized all of this stuff. The other thing that you can do if you want a bit more help even is to join one of my classes. So I teach a strength and HIIT class every week in my Train with Carly membership, but you can try a class for £7. You can just book in on a pay as you go, just to see if you like it. And I am full of the nudges with your body telling you the effort level that you should be working at, because I know sometimes it's hard. You're trying to remind yourself of many things. I find it a lot easier when I'm doing this in front of people to push myself hard. It gives me that bit of accountability. Okay. So two things that you can do this week that are going to really help you ramp up your training, because ultimately we just want to get you those results, don't we? We want you feeling fitter, stronger, healthier for the long term. And this is where it begins, my friends. Right, I have rabbited on enough. I hope you have a cracking rest of your week. Do drop into my DMs if you have any questions at all. I love getting those as well. I'm on Instagram at Carly Corrigal. Otherwise, I will see you next week. Bye. Thank you for listening to Honestly Carly. If you love today's chat, then why not share it with a friend? Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you're feeling really kind, leave a 5-star review. I'll see you next time for more honest chat and science-backed strategy for feeling strong, confident, and capable in midlife. Have a great week.